We're talking with the folks at the U.S. wheat industry. Darren Padgett is with us. Let's talk a little bit about some exciting things that happened for trade this year as far as wheat's concerned.
Well, we've got China, Japan, USMCA. Brazil's lifted some quotas, so things are moving forward. Export sales were up 4% marketing year 1920, and so far this marketing year shows no signs of slowing down. Was able to be present for the Japan-U.S. signing, which was quite an honor, along with Chairman Goings at the time. And we asked to be kept on par with TPP, and we were. So that's working out. China sales are back doing very well. Obviously, not much last year. Big buyers of hard red winter this year. Typically, that's been a hard red spring, soft white market, but for some reason, they've really found the value in the hard red winter. So good for the Midwest people. You know, wheat off the market is wheat off the market. Doesn't make any difference what class it is. It's nice to see the sales there. And of course, with the USMCA ratified, that flow is still going south into Mexico. And when Brazil lowers their tariffs, we're very competitive there. So that's going well. And the EU, they're working on the deal as we speak over there right now.
Well, I know that some people have been happy with the way this administration has handled trade with the Asian markets. Will it be kind of a seamless, will it be seamless as we get into the new administration, or how does all of that work?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah.
as we go forward, you know, U.S. wheat and NOG has dealt with administration changes many times. This is no different. Maybe possibly a different philosophy. President-elect Biden has kind of kept his cards close to his chest. There's a couple people I'd like to see, Secretary of Ag, that hopefully can get in there, but I'm not in charge, so it really doesn't make any difference. We'll deal with it. And a lot of times when you go from one office to another over the years, you'll see faces that get up and switch chairs. And I'm confident that our staffs will do just fine and we'll move forward.
Well, I know that we've been trying to keep tabs on China, keeping up their end of the bargain on wheat exports, and they kind of seem to have kicked it up a notch in these last few months. Do you think that'll continue going forward into 2021?
Well, the day you can predict the Chinese trade imports, you let me know, because I think there's a lot of other people want to know too. So far, it looks good. You know, I've always contended that China will buy what they need when they need it. And they've kind of proven that over the years. Obviously, the beans and corn are flowing. Out here on the West Coast, Portland, during the wintertime, turns into a corn and bean facility more so than wheat. But the interesting thing is a lot of wheat's been flowing out of the Gulf to China this year. So either way, it's out the door, it's out the door, and we're happy to see that.
Well, it's been, you know, everybody's had to find different ways of reaching their consumers and their customers this year. What are some ways that NOG has successfully been promoting wheat in the middle of COVID-19?
Well, U.S. Wheat has 13 overseas offices and some really good people over there. I might want to mention that if you haven't been with U.S. Wheat for 30 years, you're a newbie. Steve Mercer's only been here 14, so he's still wet behind the ears by U.S. wheat standards. And that bodes well for your overseas connections. And U.S. wheat's always prided itself on that personal interaction that everybody misses right now, to be honest with you. I've been chairman and haven't left my office yet for 6 months. Normally you'd have a plane ticket multiple places by now. But, you know, going virtual has, as much as I don't know if the word despise is correct, but don't really care for it, we have reached in much deeper to our markets than we normally would have, and that's a good thing. And as we emerge from this, hopefully in the next few months, you may be able to now go and talk to people that wouldn't have been on your radar before. You know, especially the younger crowd, maybe they weren't going to get a plane ticket to the conference or something like that. And every time, we're 2 hours from Portland, so I have a lot of teams come by, and you know, you look at these young faces and you go, you know, they're going to be making some pretty major decisions in a few years. And so we want to make sure and make that happen. And I think you're going to see both in person and virtual continue on even after this is over.
Yeah, it's really been interesting to see how everybody's able to, revamp the way they do business every day in order to still reach those consumers that they need.
Yes, and this is no different. I'm kind of tired of the term new normal and a few things like that. You know, pick your cliche. But, it's where we're at. You've got your technical people. And, a lot of times they have to show up in person if there's milling issues or baking issues or something like that. But they've been doing a lot of good stuff virtually, too. It's just that full service that U.S. Sweet's always provided has been a bit more difficult. There is some in-person stuff starting on a very limited basis in Japan, Korea, and Taiwan. So hopefully, as things ease up, we can... It's not going to happen overnight, obviously, but we're gaining a little bit.
Well, thank you so much, Darren, for speaking with us today. Always a pleasure to talk about wheat.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.